All right. Well, if you would, take your Bibles and open them up to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And we've been talking about who Jesus is. We've been focusing on the humanity of Christ, that the Bible says that Christ was fully God, but he was also fully human. And we've talked about different things that we can learn from his humanity, the fact that he didn't have a lot of stuff and we shouldn't be materialistic, the fact that he was from a lineage of people that were of interracial marriages and interracial descent, and that we shouldn't have a problem with interracial relationships or people who are from interracial descent. But today I want to talk about something about Christ, more about just his racial look, but about how he might have looked or would have looked as a human being. In Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You know, I know that whenever I was younger and I imagined Jesus Christ, I think that a lot of times I just imagine what I saw in the movies. You know, and if you ever have seen a movie like The Passion of the Christ or any other movie that has Jesus, Jesus is always a tall, good-looking guy. He's got brown hair with blue eyes. You know, I've got most of that. I just don't have blue eyes. Excuse me, they're brown. You know, but I'm a tall, but Jesus was a tall, good-looking guy. And usually, if you imagine him in a movie, he's somewhere for older generation, maybe my age. I guess I'm older now, okay? Somewhere between like a young Harrison Ford and a Brad Pitt. Maybe for the younger generation, like a mix between Ben Affleck and Ryan Gosling. I don't know, okay? But there's no doubt that whenever we see Jesus Christ on screen, he is always a good-looking dude. But that's not what the Bible says. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says that in verse 2, it says that he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. You see, Jesus probably wasn't beautiful, and according to the Bible, was not beautiful in his own time. You know, what would Jesus have looked like externally? Well, we know that Jewish guys back then had short haircuts just like the Roman guys had short haircuts. You know, sometimes Jewish guys had beards and sometimes they didn't have a beard. We know that Roman emperors and people in authority would get upset because in a time of rebellion or in a time of revolt, they had trouble distinguishing the Jewish guys from the Roman guys. You know, if you look up here on the stained glass window behind us, you see Jesus how we imagine him in America. He's got a long flowing robe and a longer beard and long hair. But you see, that long hair back in Jesus' time was considered girly or showing off. And long beards in Jesus' day, well, those were considered to be a sign of wisdom or a lot of arrogant sort of wisdom. And really, if you look at sculptures around the time of Jesus, the only people with long robes and long flowing hair and long beards were pagan gods, people like Zeus. And you see, the first original artwork about Jesus, Jesus is just a normal-looking Jewish guy. A little bit darker skinned, more Arabic skin, short hair. Probably had a beard just because he traveled around a lot. It didn't have a home where he was always at, you know? But we began to, in our art, add the really long hair and add the big beard and add the long flowing robes because we wanted to teach other people that Jesus was God. So we took the image of this normal-looking average guy, and in our artwork, we created something else because we wanted to share with everybody our belief that Jesus is God. But that's probably not what Jesus looked like. You know, Jesus wouldn't have been beautiful not only in his time, but Jesus wasn't beautiful or handsome, I guess, in our time. He for sure wouldn't have been in our time. If you look at archaeology, we have the benefits of modern medicine and modern hygiene, and Jesus wouldn't have had that. If you look at skulls from people from back in the day, most of them were missing some teeth. You know, the really rich people, they would get their teeth kind of drilled down and they would put gemstones inside of their teeth to make them look pretty. So if you think like grills or something new, they're not. They go back hundreds and thousands of years. Rich people always had grills in their teeth, you know. And the really rich people could afford to put gold and silver on their teeth. And we still see that today with some crazy people that we think are nuts. But Jesus, if he was like we know from archaeology, like everybody else around him, he would have been an average-looking guy coming up to you, maybe missing some teeth. The other thing that people struggled with back in the day was parasites, and not only internal, but also external, you know. We have combs that archaeologists have dug up from rich people, you know, and these rich people had lice combs, you know. They had combs that were thick or widespread apart, whatever you call them, teeth on one side, their narrow teeth on the other side. Some of these fancy combs had places for you to put oil, so while you brushed your hair with the narrow teeth to get lice, there would also be oil coming onto your hair. But over half of those combs of rich people had lice on them that we found. What do you think the poor people like Jesus were like? You see, we like to imagine a super handsome, ripped, good-looking Jesus Christ. But Christ came to earth, the Bible says, at a moment in time, God intentioned it to teach us not about our emphasis on outer beauty, but an emphasis on who God is as a person, what his character is like. And most of us, if Christ came into this room, would be appalled at an Arab-looking, fairly skinny because there wasn't a whole lot of food, teeth missing, lice-filled hair, Jesus Christ. But that's who God came to earth as. You know, there's no doubt in our society that we place a great emphasis on beauty. We place a great emphasis on external beauty. Of course, for human beings, beauty is somewhat subjective, and so it's changed over the years, you know? Like, I remember talking to my mamaw, who's in her 90s, and she was telling me about those flapper girls in the 20s and 30s, you know? And these flapper girls were really racy because they wore makeup. You know, now the edgy thing to do is to not wear makeup. Go natural. You know, the world can't make up its mind what it thinks people should look like, but it's always telling us what to do, what we should look like. But there's no doubt that we put emphasis upon standards of beauty. There's a guy named Daniel S. Hammermesh, and with a name like Hammermesh, he has to be a professor, all right? And he published a book called Beauty Pays, Why Attractive People Are More Successful. And he published this book with Princeton University Press, and I just throw it out there to say that this is an academic thing. This isn't just like, you know, your local Barnes & Noble, whatever kind of book. This is an academic thing. And here's what he found through his research, that if you are in the top one-third of what people consider to be attractive, you are 2 to 3 times more likely to get hired in your first interview. You are 2 to 3 times more likely to be promoted, and you on average make 10% more than everybody else in your field. So my career looks good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I'm talking about some of y'all. My career looks good. No, but we put an emphasis on that. There's also an emphasis when it comes to beauty, when it comes to voting. Sociologists have done this study where they look at people who come from poor districts and districts that are lower income and districts where people struggle with disease. And they found that most of those people, for sure, would rather vote for the healthy-looking guy, for the prosperous-looking guy, for the rich guy, over and above somebody that's just common. Why? Because they want to be like that. They want to be like that person. And they think that that person can make their life that way. In August 2012, the American Psychological Association published a journal about what's called the lipstick effect. And no, that's not when, like, your aunt that you can't stand gives you a kiss on your cheek and you just can't get that lipstick off, you know? I had a couple aunts like that. But the lipstick effect. And what it found is like that women in our society are so programmed to think about the external beauty that during a time of recession, while women will decrease spending on the stuff that we like, some guys, hate to be stereotypical, but sometimes stereotypical is because it's true, all right? So they'll spend less money on TVs, less money on electronics. What they found is that in times of recession, though, women will spend money unconsciously more on lipstick, more on makeup, more on good clothes. And what the scientists found out was that this wasn't true just in actual times of recession, but even in times of prosperity, if they would give a group of women a fake document that said that we're going through a recession, they're likely to spend more on cosmetics, on good-looking clothes. Why? Because we put such an emphasis on on beauty in our society that women even feel like that they have to look good to get ahead, that they have to look good to make more money, that they have to fit a certain mold to get somebody maybe even just to want to provide for them. You know, beauty changes, and beauty goes away. The Bible says that charm is deceitful, and beauty is vanity. It's passing. But your character is what counts. There's a lot of things that the Bible calls beautiful, not just external physical beauty, but says that nature is beautiful. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. You know, I remember yesterday, it's just been raining a whole lot this week, you know, so I got out and I went backpacking a little bit, and I like to go on. I don't like to walk in the city, mostly because I don't want people to see me exercise, okay? Like, it's sort of like a embarrassing thing because I have this deal with external looks too, I guess, too. But so I go out in the country road, find a place away from everybody. And so I went backpacking, walking, and I was listening, you know, to my movie soundtrack music that I have on whenever I'm walking, you know. Either that or Lecrae. It's kind of a mix, kind of weird like that. But I was walking, and I just began to look at the countryside, you know. It had that just been rained on fresh look, you know, kind of like putting that tire shine on your tires so your tires look clean. They look sharp. But it had just that been rained on fresh look. And, man, I don't know what struck me, but just the beauty of God's creation, even the cows look good. I was like, man, that cow over there grazing, that is a beautiful cow. I don't know if it's a beautiful cow or not, but everything just looked good because it was God's creation. But the Bible teaches us that the grass withers and those flowers are going to die. The Bible describes architecture as being beautiful, and God warns people not to forget him when they've gone into the land in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and built beautiful houses. You know, houses can be beautiful. Buildings can be beautiful. And as Christians, we should enjoy that and enjoy creating, but we should also be aware that those buildings are going to crumble and that they're going to fall. Human beings are beautiful. In the Song of Solomon, the bride says to her husband, "Behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant." I hear that like every day. It is amazing, right? All right. Anyways, "You are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant." People were found to be beautiful. Sarah was so beautiful that Abraham couldn't even hide her from the king of Egypt because she was a beautiful woman. But the Bible again warns us that what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You know, I don't know if you know this, but you're not going to always look like you look now. You know, some of y'all, that's a good thing. But you're not always going to look like you look now. You're going to change. Stop it. You're going to change. You know, things are going to be different. If I pull my hair back over where I'm trying to hide it, man, it is going backwards up here. You know, I'm getting my dad's Aggie spot from doing this his whole life. You know, the Aggie spot. Though, I didn't know, okay? But I'm getting that. And age comes on us, and things creep up. You know, there was a friend named Meg, and she was talking to her other friend named Sally, and she saw that Sally was wearing a locket. And she said, "Sally, what's in your locket? And she said, a piece of my husband's hair. And she said, Sally, but your husband's alive. She goes, I know, Meg, but I'm remembering the days when he used to have hair. He used to have hair. And there's no doubt that that's going to be me. You're getting old. You know you're old when you go to Six Flags and you hurt all over and all you rode was the massage chair. You know you're old when your memory's not as sharp as it used to be and your memory's not as sharp as it used to be. You know you're old when everything in your life begins to click. Your elbows, your knees, your neck. You know you're old when you get that one candle on your cake and it's like a challenge. Everybody wants to see if you can blow it out. We age. You know that's true. I've done that with my great-grandma. She had one candle. I was like, Mama, are you going to get it or not? Okay. Like, hopefully it wasn't a trick candle. We would have been there all day long. But it's the truth. It's the truth. We get old. And that kind of beauty fades. But the Bible teaches us that there is a beauty and there are things that are beautiful that last. In Psalms 147, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Our worship is beautiful. And since we're going to worship for eternity, worship will always retain its beauty. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, one thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. God, to know God will always be precious, and God will always be beautiful. To live a holy life is beautiful. The Bible says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. To live for God makes you beautiful. And you know, sin makes us ugly. It makes us ugly. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf. And our iniquity is like the wind. Take us away. Sin makes you fade. And sin makes you ugly. But to live a life of holiness before God makes you beautiful to Him. We're beautiful when we preach the good news. And the Bible says beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Proclaiming the good news makes us beautiful. You know, as a Christian, you're not beautiful because how you look on the outside. You're not beautiful because of how buff you are. You're not beautiful because of how gorgeous your eyes are or how long and flowing your hair is. As a Christian, you're beautiful because God makes you that way. C.S. Lewis said, the Christian does not think God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because He loves us. And I think in the same way, God does not love us because we are beautiful, but God does make us beautiful because He loves us. And true beauty is found not in the value of yourself, because every day you are dying. Every day your looks are fading. But true beauty is found in your heart, when your heart belongs to Christ. Now, the Bible teaches that when Christ came to earth in His human form, that there was nothing beautiful about Him, and there is nothing that we should be attracted to Him. But the Bible also has other passages that describe Christ in all His glory and His beauty. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, it says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. You see, Christ, seeing the risen Christ, was such a beautiful experience for John that he is doing his best to somehow, in human terms, get a grasp on who Jesus is. Christ isn't only beautiful, but Christ is described as being powerful. And I love the description of Christ on the white horse. It says, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. But Christ is made beautiful and Christ is glorified because of, or in part of, what he did for us. Because of what he accomplished on our behalf on the cross. Isn't it crazy to think, for all of our standards of beauty, for all the value that our society places on external appearance, that the most beautiful moment in human history is an unbeautiful man hanging bloody on a cross, naked, disfigured for you and for me. And so I challenge you this morning not to think less of yourself than you ought to, but don't think more of yourself than you ought to. But rather, think of yourself, consider yourself through the eyes of Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for you. The Bible teaches that Christ will return, and when he returns, it's going to be a beautiful sight for those that know him. It's going to be a wonderful sight for those who have forgiveness and have been faithful to follow Jesus Christ. But that same image, if you're not a Christian, Christ is beautiful, but he is also powerful, and he will come back to judge the living and the dead. And it will be the most beautiful moment, the culmination of all history for you and for me, will be a moment of terror for those who don't know Christ. You know, I don't know where you are this morning in your walk with Christ. Maybe you're putting too much emphasis on external things, including your own appearance or the appearance of others. Maybe you think less of your appearance than God does. But I want to encourage you this morning, think about your heart. Do you know Jesus? Are you living faithfully for God? Are you serving Christ? Or are you living for yourself? Doing what you want to do? I want to try to live for Christ. And I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I mess up all the time. Can't go through the list right now. We're about to wrap up. All the time. But Christ has forgiven me. And in his eyes, I'm handsome. Not because of me, because of him. You know, if you don't know Christ, I pray that this morning would be the morning that you decide to change. That you repent. And you come and you follow Christ. And you give your life to Jesus. And you know, Christian, as you think about lost people that you know, I pray that today you would commit to be a witness to them so that they could know Jesus. We're going to have a time of invitation, and I'm just going to be at the front. And I invite you all to stand. And again, there's nothing special about me except for Jesus Christ. But if you want to pray about something that's going on in your life, if you want to know Jesus Christ, just give me an opportunity to come and do that this morning. But if not, just right where you are, focus on Christ and how Jesus sees you.